we're not going to read the whole thing for the sake of time, but basically, there's the enemy, and somehow the enemy plans his strategic operations, but they are always foiled because Elijah seems to hear everything that's going on and then warns the Israelite army, and they prepare. Verse 16 of 2 Kings chapter 6 says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh my Lord, what shall we do?' says the servant. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' Then Elijah prayed, 'O Lord, open his eyes so he may see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, 'Strike these people with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness, and Elijah had just that. Elijah told them, 'This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for.' And he led them to Samaria." It's interesting that this gives a great depiction of something more going on behind the scenes. A spiritual battle that is occurring. Okay, we're going to go down again. Keep this. Keep going. Okay, one more. There we go. Stop. Now, number one, we don't realize that we're in a battle. So we say, "I'm not a soldier. I'm not signed up." Next reason that we don't say, "I'm a soldier," when we are in Christ is because of what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. It says, "Endure hardships with us like a soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." I would say to us, brothers and sisters, that we are totally engaged in civilian affairs. And when we say civilian affairs, it almost, to my mind, comes selfish affairs. The things of the world. We don't approach anything in the light of, "I am salt and light." We don't approach the world, "I am in Christ, and therefore I'm going to try to make disciples." We don't approach the world and civilian things in the sense of, "I am a soldier and I want to see people set free." We approach most everything just as civilians. And we say that not even in Christ. Facebook is a good example to me. When I go on there, I don't see much about Jesus at all. Even though most of all my friends I have on there are Christians. And I ask my wife, "Where is the soldiering?" or "Where is the light?" I'm going to just lay the blame out there. For myself, I do the same thing. Like, this is a tool that you can use in either way. Why do we approach it totally in a civilian type of fashion? I was really encouraged because in high school, there was a kid by the name of Jamie Crump. And I just remember him, this may not mean anything to the younger generation, but he was with a guy by the Randy Young. They had parachute pants, they did the break dancing, they had the hairstyles and everything. He didn't know Jesus. I remember one time we all put the wrestling mats up and we were all jumping off of them and slamming the basketball, and just happened to be that when Jamie slammed it, he shattered the backboard. And the next day, over the announcements, "Rob Cobb and Jamie Crump, please come to the..." Somehow they got busted. I was on Facebook just the other day and just befriended Jamie. And he has on there, which I would have never ever guessed, "In hard times, praise the Lord. In good times, thank the Lord. In trials, praise the Lord." I was like, yeah. He's taking, and he's not just living in the civilian world as a civilian, he's living as a soldier of Christ, not fully engaged in civilian affairs. Why? because he wants to please his commanding officer. Who is that? It's Jesus. Every day are we living to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, there is a real battle out there. And one, we may say, oh, I'm not a soldier. We may say, two, I don't want to be a soldier. But the fact is, if you have decided to follow Christ, you're enlisted. Ten hut. And whether you believe there's a battle out there or not, there is. And we need to really think about how involved are we going to just fill our lives with civilian affairs. Now, at last year's retreat, Pastor Yom Kim spoke on these issues about being a soldier. Do you guys remember? That's okay. You can shake your head no or yes or no. You can move in this congregation. It's fine. Okay, there you go, Joseph. One thing he said is that for a soldier, we need to know the source of the battle. He says we need to know our enemy. Who is it? And this was one bit of the problems in our whole paintball thing. You can see right here is a good mark. This was the enemy against somebody who does not have the mark. But actually it was very difficult to even see the mark. But to identify the enemy. You know, as sports increase in that, in basketball or football, they spend tons of money on scouting, on going over video of the opposite team. What is their play? How do they do that? Who is the personnel? What is his best? Does he go to the left? Does he go to the right? Does he tend to shoot when he goes to the left? For me, I always go to the left. I got a nice left move and shot. If you make me go to my right, I'll have to drive the hoop. I can't get a jump shot. I should have never told you that, huh? But when you figure out your enemy and you know who it is, then you can begin to fight against them much easier. A lot of times our enemy likes to masquerade. They like to hide their true identity. And when they're doing this, they are lying. They're not coming out and telling you the truth. In the Bible, John chapter 8, it tells us what the enemy's favorite tactic is. To lie. It says that he's the father of all lies. And a lot of times when your enemy comes, it's going to come through some type of deception or lie. And you're not going to know it unless you understand your enemy and that he is a liar and that he does deceive, and most of all, that you know the true God that you follow. Such lies come up all the time when you hear about boyfriends and girlfriends. Okay? One of the lies in the world, deceptions, is the fact of, okay, you love me, therefore you will have sex with me. Is that the truth? No, that's not the truth at all. That's what the enemy makes us believe. The enemy comes and says to you, you know, your identity is in what you do. That's where your worth is. All your significant. And Jesus is saying, no, hey, over here, your worth is in me. And then we'll move out from there. Identifying the half-truths and lies of the enemy. Another one that we get a lot of times in the church is perfection is Christianity. And we're all like, man, that's not true. That doesn't make sense. But we still do it. Jesus knew we weren't perfect. That's the whole reason he came. We got some problems. Know your enemy. Know the lies he likes to say to you. When a mature Christian or brother has gone through something and they say to you, be careful, it's a good time to listen. They'll probably just tell you what the lie is. I'm like, that can't be. But identify the enemy. Now in the Bible we get three different enemies. Let's see if I got it in the right spot. Yeah, there we go. When we read these, Ephesians 6:12. If you can see that, or you can look it up in your Bible. Sisters, let's read this together. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. What's the enemy? Okay? In one word, a lot of times we just come out and say Satan. Satan is demons. And again, you know, the depiction of this is this Halloween guy in a nice silky red suit with a little, like pitchfork that is probably plastic because we wouldn't want to hurt anybody out in Halloween. But the evil one, in many ways, is what we were just describing, is one who deceives or lies. What lies or deceptions are you believing right now? What things are causing you to begin to question who you are in Christ and what you need to do? Identify and understand your enemy. Brothers, Mark 8:34 through 36. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for this gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? In this one, we identify the world. Now, some of us, of course, this is easy to get confused. Who created the world? Jesus, God. Everything in the world, it says that He created. But the real problem comes is when you start to worship and love the creation more than you love the Creator. We worship and we bow down to only the Creator, not the creation. And if you do love creation, then it should lead you to praise your Creator. The things of the world were given to us so that we could use them. God provided for us. He is our provider. But in the use of these things, how do you use them? How do you use them? For civilian affairs? Now that feels good. That's good for me. Selfish? Worldly affairs? Or do you use it thinking about God? This is God. I give it to God. I want to use it for God. Everything I have. Okay, so we got Satan, we got the world, and the last one, Pastor Kurt, you read this. Okay. But you are a chosen people, a people belonging to God, who will call out the darkness into His wonderful light. Dear friends, that's us, urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live out such good lives that you may see the good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Last one, sinful desires. A lot of times in this is actually called flesh. Your flesh desires. Our flesh wells up in us many things that we desire. And again, our bodies were given to us from God and can be used for God in a correct way. But a lot of times these desires can be used in a wrong way. Sexual desires can definitely be used in a wrong way. Just the desire for more is called greed. more than what you need, more than God wants you to have, it causes us then to stumble and fall. There's a lot of different tactics like this. We must identify what those fleshly desires are, and then to say, hey, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of them. And I want to use them for your glory and your kingdom. So we got three here. Satan, he's real. Two, the world. Your desire for the world, to worship creation instead of worship the Creator. And three, our sinful desires, our fleshly desires. This is identifying and understanding our enemy. The battle is real. We are soldiers. We need to battle with the Lord. It's interesting that Christ and those who believed in God really understood that we needed more than just ourselves. And not only do we need to know the source of the battle or our enemy, but we need to know the spiritual weapons that are used. First of all, I'd like to read from Psalms. I'm going to read 20, verse 7. Have any of you heard that little song that goes, some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of our God. Okay, we got one brother. Hallelujah. Anybody else? All right. Who? My wife has. Where's she? Three. Four. All right. Some of it. Okay, this is good stuff. And we're like, whoa, what's that mean? Horses, chariots? You know, it doesn't make sense nowadays. But in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Because back then, horses and chariots were the war weapon. You had horses, you had chariots, you lined them up, 100 across. You can think of Lord of the Rings, what's Return of the King, when they have all those horses lined up, and they're coming at you, sounds like thunder, the earth is moving. That's the whole sense. But even though Israel has horses and chariots, they did, and they used them, and they did, they still said, who will they trust in? The Lord our God. So let's don't get confused. They didn't take their sword and their chariots and everything and lay them down and get rid of them. They're still going to use them, but their trust is in the Lord. Same with the things of the world given to us to be used. In Psalm 33:16, it's something similar. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. Again, the understanding is it's not about the size of the army, which we have some episodes, I think it's Gideon showed that one, nor the strength of the man. You get that with King David fighting Goliath. Okay? Not by the strength. But it's God. It's behind the scenes, the spiritual battle that is also there, intermingling with the earthly world we live in. Now, if you got an earthly battle, you're going to fight with earthly weapons, correct? But if you have a spiritual battle, you're going to fight with spiritual weapons. Okay? And this is what Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The other one we have from Paul is in Ephesians chapter 6. A little bit smaller. We're going to read through this and understand it, and then we're going to look at these. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Okay? Brothers, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, sisters, 13. Okay? It's interesting. It talks about all this standing, which the next time we come back to all this, I'm going to talk about more. But to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Now, let's look at some of this stuff and some of the different pieces of armor, the weapons that were given in the spiritual realm. Verse 14. And some of this hopefully reminds you of last year's retreat and what was going on. It says, first of all, it says, take up the belt of truth. We need to have that truth on. Okay? And this was one of the main pieces of armor because it kind of held the sword next to you, held on the breastplate. And so he puts on the belt of truth. Are you living in the truth? Is your belt kind of loose? Okay, I'm not going to go too far there, don't worry. For some of us, our belt is loose and our pants are down around our ankles. And we're like, oh, we're starting to run, we can't fight, we can't get a firm ground. We've got to get that belt of truth on, and that truth we're going to understand from the Word of God. Buckle on that belt of truth. Read your Word. Talk with other mature brothers and sisters. Stay in the truth. The next one, the breastplate of righteousness. Are you living a whole and purified life? As one of the songs said. Are you living a life of righteousness? A lot of times as Paul interprets this word, it meant of salvation or justification. They went hand in hand. But, you know, my son has this Nerf little breastplate that he wears, and then the whole thing has like targets on it. And the whole thing is to shoot that target. And we gotta admit, for some of us, we're wearing that type of thing. Because our life is not pure, and it says right there, hit me, Satan. The door is open. In another part of our life, we've decided not to follow the Lord, but still follow our own fleshly desires, and it says, hit me. There's a 100-point shot right there. And a lot of times, this isn't going to help any if we're running. You get hit in the back. Some of us need to understand we're soldiers and turn around and fight. Because you're going to have a better chance than running away. We'll actually talk about that next time we get to talk, because actually, when you think about soldiers, one of the things they do is retreat. Sometimes there's a reason for that. The next piece. Feet fitted with the shoes of race that comes from the gospel of peace. Some of us aren't putting on our shoes. We are slipping. We are falling down. Maybe this is related to living out, just thinking and focusing on keeping peace or unity. But we're not having a traction to stand firm. Which he said, you know, stand firm. Again, I say stand firm and stand firm and stand firm. Okay, Paul, I think we get it. Or do we? We need to put on our shoes so we don't slip and fall. Next, the shield of faith, which can extinguish all these flaming arrows. You ever think about that? That's just weird. Sometimes we're like, yeah, that's right. I've seen people shoot arrows at me in the spiritual realm. Or at least with their mouth, things they said. Or with their eyes and their glances. You know what I'm talking about, right? But to hold up that shield of faith, to believe. One thing that the Lord has impressed on me to pray for myself and others is Lord, more faith. And again, our faith isn't something in just magical things. Our faith is in that Jesus really died and that He really rose from the dead. And one day He will come again. And He did this not as some spiritual, ghost floaty thing, like, ooh, was that Him? I don't know. He did it in the real flesh. He came. God came from heaven to earth to show the way. He did this for us. We believe in that and we have faith. And so we take up our shield. But a lot of times, a lot of your shields are like little dimes. Here comes that dart. Oh, it hit me. Why did it hit me? Because our faith is so small. Ask the Lord to increase your faith. And a lot of times, my faith is so small and my shield's so small, I'm going to try to get behind this brother's shield. And then he's like, hey man, there's not enough room. Boom, he's getting hit. I'm getting hit. Oh man. Sorry. And a lot of times that's what we do as believers. And sometimes it's okay. There are times where we need someone to help us with our faith and build up our faith. But Christ wants you to build up your own faith also. And a lot of times we're always looking, okay, this person, I need to go and get close to them so I'm feeling better. Or I need this experience so my faith will get larger. You know, yeah, God understands that. He even says, come together today to be together, to build one another up. But there will be times those things will not be there. And your faith still says, Jesus died, Jesus rose, and He's coming again. And I will follow Him. It says, take up the helmet of salvation. And I just thought this is hilarious when Pastor Young Kim shared. You remember him? He was on the football team. and then he's on the football team, and then his head was so big that they only had one helmet, and the other helmet was being used by the other Korean kid. So when he came out, he had to put on his helmet and then go in. But you wouldn't go into a football game without a helmet. I mean, some of you are like, crazy, yeah, I'd go, you know what. But this is the most important part. I mean, I've seen people in Taiwan on their little scooters, no helmet, dead. They are gone. And it's not so much they hit the car, it's that they hit the car, they bounce, and their head hit the pavement. And that's the number one reason that people who drive motorcycles, that's why they are become paralyzed in traction or die, because of head injury. The helmet of salvation, that Jesus has saved you. Some of you, you're not sure because your faith is small. Did Jesus really save me? Do I need to do more? I got to go help more old ladies cross the street. And then after I do 100 old ladies crossing the street, I have qualified for salvation. Whatever good works you think are still Jesus helps you to get that salvation, no. It's not about your good works like every other religion talks about, or even that our moms and dads talk about. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. That today, yesterday, and forever, He is the one who has died, has risen, and will come again. To have faith. Put on that helmet of salvation. You know, the greatest thing that we can do in the morning is just to wake up, roll out of bed, and say, wow, I'm saved. I should have died. I wasn't really worth much. But Jesus saved me. And got a nice big smile on your face. The joy of my salvation, David proclaimed. That's good stuff. Take up your helmet. Stay in the battle. Take up your faith. Stay in the battle. Take up your breastplate. Don't run. Stay in the battle. Keep your belt buckled. Stay in the battle. You are a soldier. Last of all, He gives us a sword. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it says. What's the Word of God? The Bible. From what we understand, revealed to us the very Word of God. And again, some of us, we're not reading the Word of God. We're not taking up the sword. And, you know, I'm not talking about having everything memorized. I'm not talking about, you know, all 66 books and where they're at. That is awesome stuff. That is good because that helps. But just daily reading it and saying, Jesus, what do you want to say to me? Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me? And then I put it in my life. And a lot of us, our sword is toothpick. We got a little toothpick. Our little dime, we're out there, I'm in the battle. Wait a minute, look at that guy's sword. I'm out of here. Because we're not reading our word. I don't care if it's only 1 minute. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. When you open the Word of God and you read something, that truth begins to permeate your life and you begin to live for God. Maybe you say, I can't do it. Okay, ask a brother to help you out. Ask a sister to help you out. Some way. Last of all, and a lot of times we miss this, is we need to pray. He ends it with prayer. A lot of times in these soldier motifs or whatever goes on in Paul, a lot of times it comes down to prayer. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kind of prayers and requests. To pray. To pray. This is part of our spiritual weapon to fight the spiritual battle. Not only says it's just say pray, it says pray in the Spirit. I'm not really sure what that all means. But if it says it, then we can be, Lord, help me to pray in the Spirit. I encourage us not, when we pray, just to list all the facts about a person. Okay? Lord, you know this person has a weak heart and weak faith, and Lord Jesus, the person is not seeing straight, the person is confused. Thank you, Lord. Help them. Instead, pray for them, Lord. Help grow their faith, Lord. Help them be strong in You. Take that next step where you're believing that Jesus wants to do that in their life. Pray. We don't want to run from the battle. We want to take up the Word of God. We want to take up that faith, that shield. We want to take up and cinch down that belt so it's on tight. Put on that breastplate, righteousness, purity. We want to put on these things. You are soldiers. You are soldiers. You are soldiers. You need to engage in the battle. Praying for brothers and sisters. Praying for your family. Guarding your families, your relationships. Living for Jesus. Let's just take some time to pray. I'm going to have Dan play the guitar. It's going to be a minute or two. But, you know, when I think of soldiers and I think of the battle, I think of movies like Braveheart. I think of movies like We Were Soldiers. You know, I think of this. And when they go into battle, and they charge the line, what's one thing they do? See all these guys getting together? They usually give out this, this battle cry. And, you know, a lot of times when we pray, we don't ever think about doing that. And because we don't think of ourselves as soldiers. But to pray out loud. And you know, not only do you go into battle, not you just don't go into battle screaming, you go into battle with the guy next to you. And they scream with you. And they don't know why, but and everybody's like, yeah, we can do this. And you know, it's the very truth that why do we come here on Sunday? Why not just stay at home and do it alone? Right? Why not just do it alone? Because God says to come together. Because it encourages us. And when we pray together, it encourages us. It helps us to stay in the battle. Because each week we face jobs, we face coworkers, we face students, we face teachers, families, where it causes us to say, I want to get out of the battle. But we need to stay in. I'd like everyone now to pray, and I want you to pray aloud. You can pray like this if you want. You can pray really soft. I'm not going to push you, but I would like you to pray out loud. And let's just pray out loud just for a short time, and we're going to finish. Lord Jesus, God, we just ask that you would come and you would give us strength. God, that you would really pour out, if you go louder, Dan. Father God, we just exalt you and praise you. God, we ask that you would keep our belts strong, Lord Jesus. God, that you would make us people of faith. God, that we would take up that shield. And Lord Jesus, that you would give us a righteousness, a purity, Lord. That follows your heart. God, that you would come and let us read our word. God, to know your truth and that truth would set us free. And Jesus, that we would exalt you with all heart. God, pray that you would save our families, that you would save our city. God, that you would come and break the captives free. God, that you would give health to those who are hurting, Lord. This is our heart, God, because we want what you want, Jesus. We just praise you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we thank you that we can come beside each other, Lord, and battle today. God, increase our faith, God. Increase our understanding to be soldiers and to love those around us with almost a battle cry that says, Lord, we want them to have you, Jesus. We want them to have you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.